Chapter 4 is entitled, Consider the Consequences. And here's a great quote from Orison Swett Marden. He said, every man has become great, every successful man has succeeded in proportion as he has confined his powers to one particular channel. The mark of the superior thinker is his or her ability to accurately predict the consequences of doing or not doing something. The potential consequences of any task or activity are the key determinants of how important it really is to you and your company. This way of evaluating the significance of a task is how you determine what your next frog really is. Dr. Edward Banfield of Harvard University, after more than 50 years of research, concluded that long-time perspective is the most accurate single predictor of upward social and economic mobility in America. Long-time perspective turns out to be more important than family background, education, race, intelligence, connections, or virtually any other factor in determining your success in life and at work. Your attitude toward time, your time horizon, has an enormous impact on your behavior and your choices. People who take a long view of their lives and careers always seem to make much better decisions about their time and activities than people who give very little thought to the future. And here's a rule for success. Long-term thinking improves short-term decision-making. Successful people have a clear future orientation. They think 5, 10, and 20 years out into the future. They analyze their choices and behaviors in the present to make sure that they are consistent with the long-term future that they desire. In your work, having a clear idea of what is really important to you in the long term makes it much easier for you to make better decisions about your priorities in the short term. By definition, something that is important has long-term potential consequences. Something that is unimportant has few or no long-term potential consequences. Before starting on anything, you should always ask yourself, what are the potential consequences of doing or not doing this task? And here's another rule for you. Future intent influences and often determines present actions. The clearer you are about your future intentions, the greater influence that clarity will have on what you do in the moment. With a clear long-term vision, you are much more capable of evaluating an activity in the present and to ensure that it is consistent with where you truly want to end up. Successful people are those who are willing to delay gratification and make sacrifices in the short term so that they can enjoy far greater rewards in the long term. Unsuccessful people, on the other hand, think more about short-term pleasure and immediate gratification while giving very little thought to the long-term future. Dennis Whately, a motivational speaker, says, failures do what is tension relieving, while winners do what is goal achieving. For example, coming into work earlier, reading regularly in your field, taking courses to improve your skills, and focusing on high-value tasks in your work will all combine to have an enormous positive impact on your future. On the other hand, coming into work at the last moment, reading the newspaper, drinking coffee, socializing with your coworkers may seem fun and enjoyable in the short term, but it inevitably leads to lack of promotion, underachievement, and frustration in the long term. If a task or activity has great potential positive consequences, make it a top priority and get started on it immediately. If something can have large potential negative consequences, if it's not done quickly and well, that should become a top priority as well. Whatever your frog is, resolve to gulp it down first thing. Remember, motivation requires motive. The greater the positive potential impact that an action or behavior of yours can have on your life, once you define it clearly, the more motivated you will be to overcome procrastination and get it done quickly. Keep yourself focused and forward-moving by continually starting and completing those tasks that can make a major difference to your company and to your future. You see, the time is going to pass anyway. The only question is how you use it and where you are going to end up at the end of the weeks and months that pass. And where you end up is largely a matter of the amount of consideration you give to the likely consequences of your actions in the short term. Thinking continually about the potential consequences of your choices, decisions, and behaviors is one of the very best ways to determine your true priorities in your work and personal life. Now, here are some ideas on how to put these points into action. Review your list of tasks, activities, and projects regularly. Continually ask yourself, which one project or activity, if I did it in an excellent and timely fashion, would have the greatest positive impact on my life? Whatever it is that can help you the most, set it as a goal. Make a plan to achieve it, and go to work on your plan immediately. Remember the wonderful words of Goethe. He said, "Just begin, and the mind grows heated. Continue, and the task will be completed." Chapter 5 is entitled, Practice the ABCDE Method Continually. Here's a quote from William Matthews. He says, "The first law of success is concentration, to bend all the energies to one point and to go directly to that point, looking neither to the right nor to the left." The more thought you invest in planning and setting priorities before you begin, the more important things you will do and the faster you will get them done once you get started. The more important and valuable the task is to you, the more you will be motivated to overcome procrastination and launch yourself into the job. The ABCDE method is a powerful priority setting technique that you can use every single day. This technique is so simple and effective that it can, all by itself, make you one of the most efficient and effective people in your field. The power of this technique lies in its simplicity. Here's how it works. You start with a list of everything you have to do for the coming day. Think on paper. You then place an A, B, C, D, or E before each item on your list before you begin the first task. An A item is defined as something that is very important, something that you must do or else face serious consequences. An A item on your list might be visiting a key customer or finishing a report for your boss that she needs for an upcoming board meeting. These items are the frogs of your life. If you have more than one A task, you prioritize these tasks by writing A1, A2, A3, and so on in front of each item. Your A1 task is your biggest, ugliest frog of all. A B item is defined as a task that you should do, but it has only mild consequences. These items are the tadpoles of your work life. This means that someone may be unhappy or inconvenienced if you don't do one of these tasks, but it is nowhere as important as an A task. Returning an unimportant telephone message or reviewing your email would be a B task. The rule is that you should never do a B task when there is an A task left undone. You should never be distracted by a tadpole when a big frog is sitting there waiting to be eaten. A C task is defined as something that would be nice to do, but for which there are no consequences at all, whether you do it or not. C tasks include phoning a friend, having coffee or lunch with a coworker, or completing some personal business during work hours. This sort of activity has no effect at all on your career or work life. A D task is defined as something you can delegate to someone else. The rule is that you should delegate everything that anyone else can do so that you can free up more time for the A tasks that only you can do. An E task in the ABCDE method is defined as something that you can eliminate altogether and it won't make any real difference. This may be a task that was important to you at one time, but is no longer relevant to yourself or anyone else. Often it's something you continue to do out of habit or because you enjoy it. After you have applied the ABCDE method to your list, you will be completely organized and ready to get more important things done faster. The key to making this ABCDE method work is for you to now discipline yourself to start immediately on your A1 task and then to stay at it until it's complete. Use your willpower to get going and stay going on this one job, the most important single task you could possibly be doing. Eat the whole frog and Don't stop until it's finished completely. Your ability to think through and analyze your work list and determine your A1 task is the springboard to higher levels of accomplishment and greater self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride. When you develop the habit of concentrating on your A1 most important activity, on eating your frog, you will start getting more done than any two or three people around you. Now here's how you can put these ideas into action. Review your list right now and put an A, B, C, D, or E next to each task or activity. Select your A1 job or project and begin working on it immediately. Discipline yourself to do nothing else until this one job is complete. Practice this A, B, C, D, E method every day and on every work or project list before you begin work for the next month. By that time, you will have developed the habit of setting and working on your highest priority tasks, and your future will be assured. Chapter 6 is entitled, Focus on Key Result Areas. Norman Vincent Peale once wrote, "When every physical and mental resource is focused, one's power to solve a problem multiplies tremendously." Here's the question. Why am I on the payroll? This is one of the most important questions you ever ask and answer over and over again throughout your career. As it happens, most people are not exactly sure why they are on the payroll. But if you're not crystal clear about why you're on the payroll and what results you've been hired to accomplish, it's very hard for you to perform at your best and get paid more and promoted faster. In its simplest terms, the answer is that you have been hired to get specific results. A wage or a salary is a payment for a specific quality and quantity of work that can be combined with the work of others to create a product or service that customers are willing to pay for. Each job can be broken down into about 5 to 7 key result areas, seldom more. These are the results that you absolutely positively have to get to fulfill your responsibilities and make your maximum contribution to your organization. Key result areas are similar to the vital functions of the body, such as those indicated by blood pressure, heart rate, respiratory rate, and brainwave activity. An absence of any one of these vital functions leads to the death of the organism. By the same token, your failure to perform in a critical result area of your work can lead to the end of your job as well. For example, the key result areas of management are planning, organizing, staffing, delegating, supervising, measuring, and reporting. These are the areas in which a manager must get results to succeed in his or her area of responsibility. You must have essential knowledge and skills for your job. These demands are continually changing. You have developed core competencies that make it possible for you to do your job in the first place, but key results are always central to your work and determine your success or failure in your job. A key result area is something that you must achieve to succeed at your job. It's a task area for which you are completely responsible. If you don't do it, it will not be done by someone else. A key result area is an activity that is under your control. It is an output of your work that becomes an input or a contributing factor to the work of others. The starting point of high performance is for you to first identify the key result areas of your work. Discuss them with your boss. Make a list of your output responsibilities and make sure that the people above you, on the same level of you, and below you are in agreement with it. For example, for a salesperson, prospecting and opening new accounts is a key result area. This activity is the key to the entire sales process. Closing a sale is another key result area. When the sale is made, it triggers the activities of many other people to produce and deliver the product or service. For a company owner or key executive, negotiating a bank loan is a key result area. Hiring the right people and delegating effectively are both key result areas. For a secretary or receptionist, typing a letter or answering the phone and transferring the caller quickly and efficiently are defined as key result areas. People's ability to perform these tasks quickly and well largely determines their pay and promotability. Once you have determined your key result areas, The second step is for you to grade yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 in each of these areas. Where are you strong? And where are you weak? Where are you getting excellent results? And where are you underperforming? Here's the rule. Your weakest key result area sets the height at which you can use all your other skills and abilities. This rule says that you could be exceptional in 6 out of 7 of your key result areas, but really poor in the 7th, and your poor performance in the 7th area will hold you back and determine how much you achieve with all your other skills. This weakness will act as a drag on your effectiveness and be a constant source of friction and frustration. For example, delegating is a key result area for a manager. This skill is the key leverage point that enables a manager to manage, to get results through others. A manager who cannot delegate properly is held back from using all of his or her other skills at their maximum level of effectiveness. Poor delegation skills alone can lead to failure in the job. One of the major reasons for procrastination and delay in the workplace is that people avoid jobs and activities in those areas where they have performed poorly in the past. Instead of setting a goal and making a plan to improve in a particular area, most people avoid that area altogether, which just makes the situation worse. The reverse of this is that the better you become in a particular skill area, the more motivated you will be to perform that function, the less you will procrastinate, and the more determined you will be to get it finished. The fact is that everybody has both strengths and weaknesses. Refuse to rationalize, justify, or defend your areas of weakness. Instead, identify them clearly. Set a goal and make a plan to become very good in each of those areas. Just think, you may be only one critical skill away from top performance in your job. Here's one of the greatest questions you will ever ask and answer. It's this: what one skill, if I developed and did it in an excellent fashion, would have the greatest positive impact on my career? Let me repeat that. What one skill, if you developed and did it in an excellent fashion, would have the greatest positive impact on your career? You should use this question to guide your career for the rest of your life. Look into yourself for the answer. You probably know what it is. Ask your boss this question. Ask your coworkers. Ask your friends and your family. Whatever the answer is, find out and then go to work to bring up your performance in this area. The good news is that all business skills are learnable. If anyone else is excellent at a particular key result area, this is proof that you can become excellent as well if you decide to. One of the fastest and best ways to stop procrastinating and get more things done faster is for you to become absolutely excellent in your key result areas. This can be as important as anything else you do in your life and career. Here's how you can put these ideas to work immediately. Identify the key result areas of your work. What are they? Write down the key results you have to achieve to do your job in an excellent fashion. Give yourself a grade from 1 to 10 on each one. And then determine the one key skill that, if you did it in an excellent manner, would help you the most in your work right now. Take this list to your boss and discuss it with him or her. Invite honest feedback and appraisal. You can only get better when you are open to the constructive inputs of other people. Discuss your results with your staff and coworkers. Talk them over with your spouse. Make a habit of doing this analysis regularly for the rest of your career. Never stop improving. This decision alone can change your life. Chapter 7 is called Obey the Law of Forced Efficiency. Komar once wrote, "Concentration in its truest, unadulterated form means the ability to focus the mind on one single solitary thing." The law of forced efficiency says that there's never enough time to do everything, but there's always enough time to do the most important thing. Put another way, you cannot eat every tadpole and frog in the pond, but you can eat the biggest and ugliest one, and that will be enough, at least for the time being. When you run out of time, and the consequences for not completing a key task or project can be really serious, you always seem to find the time to get it done, often at the very last minute. You start early, you stay late, and you drive yourself to complete the job rather than to face the negative consequences that would follow if you didn't complete it within the time limit. So here's a rule for you. There will never be enough time to do everything you have to do. The fact is that the average person today is working at 110 to 130% of capacity. And the jobs and responsibilities just keep piling up. All of us have stacks of reading material that we still have to go through. One study concluded recently that the average executive has 300 to 400 hours of reading and projects backlogged at home and at the office. What this means is that you will never be caught up. So get that thought out of your mind. All you can hope for is to be on top of your most important responsibilities. The others will just have to wait. Many people say that they work better under the pressure of deadlines. Unfortunately, years of research indicate that this is seldom true. Under the pressure of deadlines, which are often self-created through procrastination and delay, people suffer greater stress, make more mistakes, and have to redo more tasks than under any other conditions. Often, the mistakes that are made when people are working to meet tight deadlines lead to defects and cost overruns that lead to substantial financial losses in the long term. Sometimes the job actually takes much longer to complete when people rush to get the job done at the last minute, and then they have to redo it. You can use three questions on a regular basis to keep yourself focused on getting your most important tasks completed on schedule. The first question is, what are my highest value activities? Put another way, what are the biggest frogs that you have to eat to make the greatest contribution to your organization, to your family, to your life in general? This is one of the most important questions you can ever ask and answer. What are your highest value activities? First, think this through for yourself. Then, ask your boss. Ask your coworkers and subordinates. Ask your friends and family. Like focusing the lens of a camera, you must be crystal clear about your highest value activities before you begin work. The second question you can ask yourself continually is, what can I and only I do that, if done well, will make a real difference? This question comes from Peter Drucker, the management guru. It's one of the best of all questions for achieving personal effectiveness. What can you and only you do that, if done well, will make a real difference? This refers to something that only you can do. If you don't do it, it won't be done by someone else. But if you do do it, and you do it well, it can really make a difference to your life and your career. What is it? What is your frog in your work? Every hour of every day, you can ask yourself this question, and there will always be a specific answer. Your job is to be clear about the answer, and then to start and work on this task before anything else. The third question you can ask is, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? In other words, what is my biggest frog of all at this moment? This is the core question of time management. Asking it is the key to overcoming procrastination and becoming a highly productive person. Every hour of every day, there is an answer to this question. Your job is to ask yourself the question over and over again and to always be working on the answer to it, whatever it is. Do first things first and second things not at all. As Goethe said, the things that matter most must never be at the mercy of the things that matter least. The more accurate your answers to these questions, the easier it will be for you to set clear priorities, to overcome procrastination, and to get started on the one activity that represents the most valuable use of your time right now. Now here's how to put these ideas into action. Remember, your most powerful thinking tool for success is your ability to discriminate between one priority and another. Take a few minutes each day and sit quietly where you cannot be disturbed. During this time, relax and just think about your work and activities without stress or pressure. In almost every case, during this time of solitude, you will receive wonderful insights and ideas that will save you enormous amounts of time when you apply them on the job. Often, you will experience breakthroughs that will change the direction of your life and work. Chapter 8 is entitled, Prepare Thoroughly Before You Begin. James T. McKay, the time management expert, wrote, "No matter what the level of your ability, you have more potential than you can ever develop in a lifetime. One of the best ways for you to overcome procrastination and get more things done faster is for you to have everything you need at hand before you begin. When you're fully prepared, you are like a cocked gun or an archer with an arrow pulled back taut in the bow. You just need one small mental push to get started on your highest value tasks. This is like getting everything ready to prepare a complete meal, such as a big frog. You set out all the ingredients on the counter in front of you and then begin putting the dinner together one step at a time. Begin by clearing off your desk or workspace so that you have only one task in front of you. If necessary, put everything on the floor or on the table behind you. Gather all the information, reports, details, papers, and work materials that you will require to complete the job. Have them at hand so that you can reach them without getting up or moving very much. Be sure that you have all writing materials, computer disks, access codes, email addresses, and everything else you need to start and continue working until the job is done. Set up your work area so that it is comfortable, attractive, and conducive to working for long periods. Especially, make sure that you have a comfortable chair that supports your back and allows your feet to sit flat on the floor. The most productive people take the time to create a work area where they enjoy spending time. The cleaner and neater your work area before you begin, the easier it is for you to get started and keep going. One of the great techniques for overcoming procrastination, eating frogs, is for you to get everything completely ready to work in advance. When everything is laid out in order and sequence, you feel much more like getting on with the job. It's amazing how many books never get written, how many degrees never get completed, how many life-changing tasks never get started because people fail to take the first step of preparing everything in advance. Los Angeles, for example, attracts people from all over America who dream of writing a successful movie script and selling it to one of the studios in the area. They move to Los Angeles and work at low-level jobs for years while they dream of writing and selling a popular script. Recently, the Los Angeles Times sent a reporter out onto Wilshire Boulevard to interview passersby. When people came along, he asked them one question, "How's your script coming?" 3 out of 4 passersby replied, "Almost done." The sad fact is that "almost done" probably meant not yet started. Don't let this happen to you. When you sit down with everything in front of you ready to go, assume the body language of high performance. Sit up straight, sit forward and away from the back of the chair. Carry yourself as though you are an efficient, effective, high-performing personality. Then, pick up the first item and say to yourself, "Let's get to work," and plunge in. And once you've started, keep going until the job is finished. Here's an exercise for you. Take a good look at your desk or office, both at home and at the office. Ask yourself, what kind of a person works in an environment like that? The cleaner and neater your work environment, the more positive, productive, and confident you feel. Resolve today to clean up your desk and office completely so that you feel effective, efficient, and ready to get going each time you sit down to work. Chapter 9 is entitled, Do Your Homework. Og Mandino once wrote, "The only certain means of success is to render more and better service than is expected of you, no matter what your task may be." Doing your homework is one of the most important personal productivity principles of all. Learn what you need to learn so that you can do your work in an excellent fashion. The better you become at eating a particular type of frog, the more likely you are to just plunge in and get it done. A major reason for delay and procrastination is a feeling of inadequacy, lack of confidence, or inability in a key area of the task. Feeling weak or deficient in a single area is enough to discourage you from starting the job at all. Continually upgrade your skills in your key result areas. Remember, however good you are today, your knowledge and skill are becoming obsolete at a rapid rate. As Pat Riley, the basketball coach, said, "If you're not getting better, you're getting worse." One of the most helpful of all time management techniques is for you to get better at your key tasks. Personal and professional improvement is one of the best time savers there is. The better you are at a key task, the more motivated you are to launch into it. The better you are, the more energy and enthusiasm you have. When you know that you can do a job well, you find it easier to overcome procrastination and get the job done faster and better than under any other circumstances. One piece of information or one additional skill can make an enormous difference in your ability to do the job well. Identify the most important things you do and then make a plan to continually upgrade your skills in those areas. Here's a rule for success. Continuous learning is the minimum requirement for success in any field. Refuse to allow a weakness or a lack of ability in any area to hold you back. Everything in business is learnable, and what others have learned, you can learn as well. When I began to write my first book, I was discouraged because I could only use the Hunt and Peck method of typing. I soon realized that I had to learn to touch type if I was ever going to write and rewrite a 300-page book. So, I bought a touch typing program for my computer and practiced for 20 to 30 minutes every day for 3 months. By the end of that time, I was typing 40 to 50 words per minute. With this skill, I've been able to write a dozen books that have now been published all over the world. The best news is that you can learn whatever skills you need to learn to be more productive and more effective. You can become a touch typist if necessary. You can become an expert with a computer. You can become a terrific negotiator or a super salesperson. You can learn to speak in public. You can learn to write effectively and well. These are all skills you can acquire as soon as you decide to and make them a priority. Read in your field for at least 1 hour every day. Get up a little earlier in the morning and read for 30 to 60 minutes in a book or magazine that contains information that can help you to be more effective and productive at what you do. Take every course and seminar available on key skills that can help you. Attend the conventions and business meetings of your profession or occupation. Go to the sessions and workshops. Sit up front and take notes. Purchase the audio recordings of the programs. Dedicate yourself to becoming one of the most knowledgeable and competent people in your field. Finally, listen to audio programs in your car like this. The average car owner sits behind the wheel 500 to 1,000 hours each year while driving from place to place. Turn driving time into learning time. You can become one of the smartest, most capable, and highest paid people in your field simply by listening to educational audio programs as you drive around. The more you learn and know, the more confident and motivated you feel. The better you become, the more capable you will be of doing even more in your field. The more you learn, the more you can learn. Just as you can build your physical muscles through physical exercise, you can build your mental muscles with mental exercise. And there is no limit to how far or how fast you can advance, except for the limits you place on your imagination. So here's an exercise that you can engage in immediately. Resolve today to become a do-it-to-yourself project. Become a lifelong student of your craft. School is never out for the professional. What are the key skills that can help you the most to achieve better and faster results? What are the core competencies that you will need to have in the future to lead your field? Whatever they are, set a goal, make a plan, and begin developing and increasing your ability in those areas. Resolve to be the very best at what you do. This is one of the greatest time management techniques of all.